Well, you've already heard the sermon this morning in the children's message. Thank you, Marcus. So there you go. That's the gist of it. But I want us to think about it this morning. Jesus understood reality in ways that none of us will ever know. He lived in a world as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. The incarnation of God in human flesh, fully God and fully human. His awareness of the interrelatedness of all life shines no brighter than in His parables. And in our gospel lesson for today, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, Jesus peels away a simple truth that too often you and I miss. The way the readings go back to back, last Sunday we talked about the sower who went out and, you know, sowed fields on a fallow field and then plowed them in. And then, of course, the birds ate where it fell upon the path, and in the rocky places when it sprang up quickly and melted under the sun, and then those that hit the good ground. But this is a different parable of a sower and a reaper, of wheat and tares, of that which is sown in our own lives each and every day. You see, the parable describes a farmer who broadcasts good seed into his field, and as in years past he had set aside the best seed from last year's harvest, rightly believing the health of his farming business was dependent upon sowing the best seed year after year. But this particular year, something terrible happened. An enemy sowed weeds among the wheat, a sinister act that even the most experienced farmer could not detect until the young plants broke through the ground and began to mature. As he looked out over his field one morning, he noticed that ugly, choking weeds were growing among the prized wheat that gave him his livelihood. That was his life. That's how he provided for his family. That's how he paid his workers. That's how he made his living. His workers, fearing for their jobs, asked the farmer, "You sowed good seed, didn't you, in your field?" Can you hear what they were really asking in that question? They were asking for mercy, lest their master believed that they had sabotaged his crop somehow. Thinking on their feet, the workers offered to go into the field and pull the weeds. The master, however, stuns the workers by telling them to leave the field alone. In gathering the weeds, he says, pulling them up would uproot the wheat right along with them. Let both of them grow until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell those reapers to collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn, he tells us in verses 29 and 30. End of story. Thank you very much. It's a pretty good story. We've got the gist of it. There it is. Or is it? Actually, as with the parable of the sower, our Lord offers an interpretation in verses 36 through 43. Teaching His disciples yet again, then and now, His disciples at that time and His disciples you and I today, that weeds are a fact of the kingdom of life. They are sown in our world by the enemy, but destined for the fire of judgment at the end of time. In a word, there is no escaping the reality of weeds. The enemy sows weeds in our world. They grow among the wheat. But in God's great harvest, the weeds will not prevail. You see, there's another message here worth hearing that has as much to do with our lives right now as it does with God's harvest at the end of time. Oh, make no mistake about it, God will bring the harvest at the end of the age. When God does that transforming, recreating work, all the weeds of life will be bundled and burned in the fire of God's consuming life. What does this parable mean for you and I today? Perhaps the key to hearing this parable has to do with weed control. Think of just one of the ugly, hurtful, death-dealing realities in our world today. We have war. We have hunger. We have poverty. We have disregard for the sacred nature of life. It's just a very small commodity. People shoot people for no reason at all. Hatred, racism. We see all these things that are realities in the world that you and I live in each and every day. You get the picture, don't you? At times our world seems to choke from the weeds growing in God's field. What do you and I do? What do we do We rally to weed control. Take almost any destructive issue among us and you will find faithful people who urge us to organize, to march, petition, and marshal all the forces of God's church to root out all the weeds. We got people doing things all the time to get rid of weeds. But you see, Jesus offers us another option. It's not as popular, and some among us will say that our world is corrupt. Christian people must fight to root out the weeds. That's what you hear all the time. We got to stand up. We got to root them out. Yes, but yet, I say today, that is not what our Lord advises you and I to do. In fact, Jesus not only suggests but commands that we leave the weeds alone. This one singular instruction flies in the face of what we would call common decency. I mean, we just can't let the weeds take over, can we? No, Jesus does not suggest that either. To the contrary, Jesus actually admonishes us to be so focused. Now listen, He admonishes us, you and I, to be so focused on sowing, on nurturing, on encouraging, and growing the gospel wheat that the weeds will not survive. If you and I are out doing what God has called us to do and be, the weeds will not survive. Rather than pulling up those weeds, Jesus calls us to grow strong, healthy, bountiful wheat. He wants us to be there to do what He has asked us to do. You see, this is exactly the same message our Lord gave Peter. Jesus gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, saying to him, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He tells us that in Matthew 16:18. Meaning what? Meaning that hell's fury will never stop God's church when God's people are committed to grace, living in love, and being God's presence in the world. Meaning that if we are doing what God has called the church to do, when we as God's people are committed to doing what we are supposed to do, when we're committed to grace, committed to living in love and being God's presence in the world. You see, weed control has nothing to do with pulling up weeds. I wish somebody had told my family that a long time ago. Rather, weed control has everything to do with being strong, healthy, nourishing wheat. You ask, how does that work? Simply put, Jesus said in Matthew 5:41, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile." Stun people with how generously you serve. Let them see the good fruit. And again, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn also the other. Matthew 5:39. More gospel grows on a turned cheek than a clenched fist. I tell you, clenched fist, or when our anger rages, but when we have a cooler head, we can turn that cheek. You see, this is the power of the gospel unleashed in a world that knows neither how nourishing God's love in Christ really is nor how transforming God's grace can be. We live in a world who doesn't know that. We have to teach that to them. We have to tell that to them. We have to show it to them by the way we live our life. Our world is always full of weeds. Weed control, as I said again, has nothing to do with pulling weeds. But weed control has everything to do with being God's people of grace and truth, acceptance and forgiveness, generosity and hospitality in this world that we live in. It has everything to do with God's grace, with God's truth, with God's forgiveness, generosity, hospitality. And it all works in and through us, His children, when we serve Him. You see, the way of life in Christ is ultimately the way of love. This week, I ask you to refuse to get caught up in any cause other than the movement that Jesus launched 2,000 years ago. If you're not about kingdom work, Don't get caught up in it. His movement is like a field in which a farmer sowed good seed. Oh, believing that God would one day gather a bountiful harvest from the choices that we make to live the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word this day. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to be in the weed control business instead of the weed pulling business. Thank you, Lord, for who you are each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your ways. Thank you, Lord, for each and every day that you allow us to live in the grace that you so graciously give. Be with us now and bless our time. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 452. Hymn number 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Know that our altar is always open, and come as you will, stand as we sing.